This is Football Friday with Monty in the Morning. Need the info so you can turn your money into more money?
Money.
NFL and NCAA locks are coming up.
Make money.
Football Friday has you covered. Now, here's Monty.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Monty and Jake with you, the Monty Show. Every weekday, we are here talking sports, having some fun. Make sure you find us wherever you get your podcasts. If I get that frog out of my throat.
Hello.
Including Stitcher, our number one portal for podcast downloads, iHeartRadio. Appreciate you guys on the iHeartRadio app, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. That's where you find us. This show, as always, is brought to you by our good friends at Arrowhead BMW, arrowheadbmw.com, right off the 101 freeway in Glendale at the Beardsley Union Hills exit. Brand new Hockenheim Silver M2 in the Hizzy yesterday.
I'm ready.
Yeah, saw my good friends at Arrowhead BMW yesterday. That was fun, so appreciated that. Go see them. Tell them the guys on the Monty Show sent you. And by the way, make sure that you get that free Danish. We joked again about it yesterday. They were out of Danish when I got there yesterday. Keep wearing them out of Danish at Arrowhead BMW, arrowheadbmw.com, right off the 101 freeway. And a big day for our friends at Napa Auto Parts on Saturday. That's because they have their fall vehicle health care. Or vehicle health check is the specific name of it, tomorrow at Napa Auto Parts in Peoria, 9786 West Peoria Avenue in Peoria. And by the way, exclusively for Monty Show listeners, if you walk in there, download the Yelp app, okay? Download the Yelp app. Show them that you have downloaded the Yelp app. Go to the Napa Auto Parts Peoria store page. Show them that you did that. They're going to give you $20 off a $100 purchase. That is only for Monty Show listeners. And you can have one of these beautiful Napa Auto Parts hats as well. And all you have to do is go in and show them that you found them on Yelp. They're going to hook you up with that discount.
Yes.
Only for Monty Show listeners. So there you go. Are we going to start with NBA China again this morning? Is that what we're doing?
Let's just get it out of the way now. You know, just get it out of the way, and then we can get to the fun stuff.
Okay, so how do I say this? NBA China is still a mess, and I think we've talked a lot about this on this show, and I know you're probably tired of hearing it. But again, I just have to ask, what is the NBA doing, and why are they still playing games in China? The latest update on this is that China has mandated that the NBA not have media availabilities for their players after this game tomorrow between the Lakers and the Nets, right outside of Hong Kong, it should be said. This game's going to be played like 20 miles right outside of Hong Kong. And my question is, if you are the NBA, what are you still doing in China? At this point, I don't know what they're still doing there. I really don't. Because now the Chinese government has told you cannot have media availability. The Chinese government has told you that you are not going to talk about the issues between China and the NBA. And, you know, really, I just don't think the NBA needs China this much. Now it's gotten to the point, Jake, where I feel like it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really know what the gain is by staying in China. The NBA and specifically Adam Silver, because this is Adam Silver's league right now. He clearly feels like there's some huge loss by leaving China, and I guess I just disagree. I know that that's a huge market for the NBA, and there's a lot of money
massive
to be made.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean
it's billions of dollars.
I know
to be
it's
clear.
Billions of yeah. dollars. Yeah, I mean it's a lot of money, but you know, for a thing like the NBA, You can find that money somewhere else. You can make that money happen somewhere else.
I don't know about all that.
Well,
that's a huge market. It is a ton of people. It's a ton of fans. But here's my point, though. I think China is valuable. Its people are important. Its people are valuable. There's no question about that. The thing that bothers me so much is that you're kowtowing to a communist regime repeatedly, and the message is inconsistent. At what point did we become a country where we allow the communist regime of China to tell us that we can't speak to the media? When did that happen?
I don't know, bro.
Apparently right now with the NBA, that's when it happened. And I just don't, in my opinion, I just don't think you can do that. I think at some point you have to move on. And I think at some point you have to say, hey, if this is what it is and if this is how it's happened, okay, look, we just couldn't bow down to a communist government telling us we couldn't have media availability.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's kind of the point I was making. Like, why would you still be there? Like, you just need to leave. There's no point in staying. They don't want you there. They're doing everything they can to kneecap your experience. Why are you still playing games and putting players through that? Bring them home. It's that simple.
Yeah, bring them home. That's exactly what I would say. And I get it. You need China, and it's important. But what do you make of this? What do you make of the Nike situation in China? I don't know how many people realize this, but Nike has a substantial retail presence in China. And Nike yesterday announced whether, you know, unceremoniously or not, that they pulled all Rockets gear from their stores in China. And it is believed that that was done because the Chinese government, essentially, when you open up a retail store in China, they tell you, hey, here's how you're going to do business. These are the things you can and cannot do. It's called the law. And those are very similar set of circumstances when you open a business here in the United States. Well, in China, you know now that they are not selling any Rockets gear or anything to do with the Rockets. Basically, the Chinese government has said the Houston Rockets don't exist.
Right.
What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, look, I think it falls right in line with everything else the Chinese government has done. So I'm not surprised to hear it. And I think if you're Nike, it is definitely, again, a big loss of profit for you, I would assume. But on the other hand, I just don't think that you can... Like, while money is a huge thing in this conversation, money can't be the conversation. This is much more about, hey, you're a communist government dealing with governments and or dealing with brands and people and leagues that are in a free society. So the fact that you're going to try and, you know, lay the hammer on these people and say that they can't sell this kind of gear and do X, Y, and Z and they can't have media availability... I just wouldn't tolerate it. I just don't understand why you would tolerate any of this. Like, we don't need China. It's that simple. Like, you can say that, and I don't disagree with you, that, you know, their people are important. There's a lot of money there. Great. All that, while all that matters, it doesn't really matter. We don't need China. We don't need their business. We're not desperate. We're not, their money isn't putting food on our table like that. Like, we... There is so much money coming in that we will be fine.
I don't know that I agree with that. Any time that you're going to lose, and whatever the number is, tens of billions of dollars to be sure, anytime you're just throwing that money down the drain, I think it's a problem. I don't think that you can just write that off casually and say, we'll make it somewhere else, because where else are you going to make that kind of money? Because if you could make that kind of money in Europe, you would have done that already. And I think the other thing that a lot of people don't consider is that look at the Anta deal. Anta is a shoe company. Likely their most famous endorser is Klay Thompson. Anta has stopped making deals with NBA players and has stopped, you know, negotiating with the NBA on the whole. Like, those are the kind of deals I'm talking about. Li-Ning, which is famously Dwayne Wade's brand, he's the biggest endorser for Li-Ning. Same thing. They've stopped, you know, endorsing NBA athletes, and they are no longer endorsing or negotiating with the NBA.
But whose loss is that, really?
I think internationally it is. I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think that Li-Ning's going to die. I don't think that Anta's going to go away if they lose Klay Thompson, which I don't think they will. But if they don't add any more NBA players to their portfolio, I don't think Anta goes away. I think the loss is in revenue. And, you know, frankly, the guy that really frustrates me is James Harden. And I understand that James Harden has a significant international presence as a brand. Why is James Harden apologizing to the communist government of China?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I've never understood that. And I don't understand why James Harden felt that that was necessary. And I know this is Football Friday, and I know we're going to do locks and talk NFL and speaking of controversy, you know, there's a great Colin Kaepernick story today. I get that. But I think this is so much more than just basketball. I think this is so much more than just sports. I think when you're talking about doing what a communist government tells you to do, this is a big deal now, right? Like you are not having media availability. You have James Harden apologizing to a communist government. You have like all of this stuff that just flies in the face of American democracy. And I don't know why they're still there playing a game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's what I'm saying. Like the money side of it, yeah, I get that it matters, but to me, it doesn't really matter. Like you're putting your values aside so that you can play some basketball games. And you don't seem to care about the implications on the players. You don't seem to care what kind of position that puts them in, yeah, outside of the fact that you're saying, well, you don't have to do media availability because, you know, we wouldn't want to put you in that situation. Dude, they're already living the situation every day, bro. What are you talking about? So that's why I say, like, it's a little bit frustrating the way the NBA is handling this. And again, I don't know why these situations are so difficult. It to me, it's very simple. Yes, you're losing a lot of money by not being in that market. But by staying in the market, you're telling the Chinese government, well, we'll play by your rules. When actually, you're the NBA. China wouldn't be anything basketball-wise without you because nobody gives a damn about the Chinese Basketball League except China. So why, yeah, why you have the leverage here. This is what I mean. This is why I referenced the Lakers-Pelican trade over the summer where it was like the Lakers are, you know, in Magic are willing to give up the entire team to get Anthony Davis. You're the Lakers, dude. The Pelicans need you, not the other way around. So I guess it just gets frustrating when it's like, hey, do you not realize like you're the best basketball league in the world? Like this is the NBA. Like you have the best athletes. You are the moneymaker. Apparently not.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating to watch. It really is fascinating to watch. What is your thought on Steve Kerr? Because Steve Kerr got into it, you know, obviously over the last several days with President Trump, and a lot of people are criticizing Steve Kerr because, you know, he wouldn't comment on the situation in China. He would not, you know, talk about that. And then President Trump took a shot at him and Greg Popovich. So yesterday, Steve Kerr kind of got into President Trump a little bit and talked about how, you know, the White House and the office of the president is this and that. Like, should Steve Kerr, I feel like Steve Kerr now is on the wrong side of this. And I feel like all of this battling with the president that Steve Kerr's done, I feel like that this is kind of, this China situation is where the rubber meets the road. Because I do agree that there is a bit of hypocrisy in the way Steve Kerr has handled that.
Just because he talks about the president and won't talk about this?
Yeah, when you come out and say, I'm not going to talk about China, I don't know enough about it. By the way, his father was a teacher, a diplomat. Like, he was Steve Kerr knows about China.
Yeah,
he knows about the history of China. He knows about the oppression that's going on in China. Like, that to me, that was a little hypocritical.
Right.
I would rather Steve Kerr would have come out and just said, hey, you know what? There's nothing good that comes from me talking about China, so I'm not going to do it. Like, I would have been totally fine with that.
Yeah, you know, I think, first of all, I want to say, anytime you are, you know, a guy of his stature and you choose to talk about certain things and not others, you're going to piss people off. I mean, that's just how our country works. That's how the media works. That's how Twitter works. You know, that's just how the people work in general. You know, if you're talking about things that they want to talk about, they're happy with you. If you talk about things they don't like to talk about, then they're not going to be happy with you. So, that's just kind of how it goes. But I think I get your point about the fact that, you know, he's willing to talk about the president, but won't talk about China. Like, I get it. But at the same time, think about the implications that came off of one tweet. What would happen if somebody came out and did 5-6 minutes with the media about it? I think I agree that the excuse of I'm not educated on it is not a good one, you know, because of where his dad has been and the experience he has. But at the same time, that is what it is. And again, I think it's smart to not talk about it.
But
so.
I think you just need to no comment it, frankly. I wonder, does this go away once they play this game tomorrow in China?
I think once the teams are out of, like, once they fully are out of China, They're not playing games there. There's nothing going on. I think it calms a little bit. It calms down a little bit.
It does. Okay. Well, I you know, certainly we'll find out. The Monty Show brought to you by Arrowhead BMW. ArrowheadBMW.com, right off the 101 freeway at the Beardsley Union Hills exit. Make sure you stop by and see them. You know, at Arrowhead BMW, it's just a different way of doing, you know, the car business. It was uncomfortable in the beginning of my car buying life because I always had this thought process about what buying a car was going to be like. You know, when you go into a car dealership and you're going to buy the car they want you to buy because they're going to make the most money off that car.
Stevie's got
to
make a commission.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, that's what it felt like to me. That's not at all what it is at Arrowhead BMW. And that's why I love going there. It's so comfortable. You walk in and there's a smiling face waiting for you. There's polite people. They want you to get excited about your car buying experience. You're in and out totally. From the second you walk in to the second you walk out with your new BMW, you're done in an hour, which I absolutely love because they have menu pricing, which means there's a menu in the car when you get in and sit down. It's like you're at a fine steakhouse. You circle how much you want to pay. What do you want to put down? What do you want your payment to be? Hey, I want to lease this. I want to buy this. And then you're done. There's no heavy negotiating or heavy-handedness because they have menu pricing at Arrowhead BMW. ArrowheadBMW.com, right off the 101 freeway. Don't forget Trunk or Treat this month, October 26th, for our Cars and Coffee event at Arrowhead BMW. Bring the kids. Come in a costume. We're going to have awards for the best costumes. We're going to have all kinds of free candy. There's going to be a scavenger hunt inside of five cars that you got to find the different prizes. It's going to be amazing. It is Trunk or Treat at Arrowhead BMW Cars and Coffee on October 26th.
What do you think you're going as?
I'm going to
go as a car enthusiast. What do you think?
I think I'm going to go as a well-hung adult.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's
a great costume idea.
Yeah, that costume tends to work for me.
Right, yeah.
That was probably too much. I think I'm going to go as a radio host.
Oh, okay, cool. Do you just walk around with a microphone, or how does that work?
No, you just have a big microphone in your pocket, and there's nowhere for me to go with this. It's kind of awkward now because I've made it phallic, and I probably shouldn't have done that. But
Thank you.
What I meant to say was, is the Patriot defense really as good as they're showing?
Yes.
Well, there is a raging debate about this. Obviously, they handled their business against the New York Football Giants last night on Thursday Night Football. By the way, I know BYU doesn't put players in the NFL.
No.
I know, but Kyle Van Noy scoop and score last night on a tremendous play. How about that play where he's flying out of bounds and reaches over to hit the pylon with the football?
Yep.
Touchdown. It's a fantastic play. What do you make of that Patriots defense? Are they good, or have they benefited from a light schedule?
I think it's a little bit of both, honestly. I think even in the NFL, when you're playing, you know, a terrible offense, it's still hard to create turnovers, right? You know, like, you know, getting the strip sack fumble, you know, getting those plays and then turning those into defensive points is tough to do. And they've done that five times this year, and they've only allowed three touchdowns all year. So that stat right there is what tells me that they're a really smart defense. They understand what the offense is trying to do to them, and that they're very well prepared. And it's not surprising, being that Bill Belichick is the head coach. He's a defensive guy. He's a defensive wizard. So, you know, I'm not surprised that they have a great defense. What I will say is that I do think the defense is what carries them a lot of the times. There were moments last night.
Is that a problem?
I wouldn't say necessarily it's a problem. That's how I would want my team to be set up. I would rather have an outstanding defense and have an offense that, you know, I have to really work on rather than the other way around, because at least at that point I can get, you know, I'll be in every game. I'll have chances. I'll have opportunities. So at the end of the day, I think, yes, the Patriot defense is legit because of how smart they play. Not necessarily because they're the most talented or because maybe they have the best players, but they're really smart and they understand where they should be at all times.
Well, they by far have given up the fewest points in the NFL at 48 points. They've scored 190. Do the math. That's a plus 142 for this Patriots defense. And they've done it against the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bills, the Redskins, and the Giants.
Yeah,
that's not exactly
a cupcake schedule for sure.
And you know, the other thing is now they're going into their bye week, and they're going to come out of their bye week and face the Jets. So they go from here. They go bye week: Jets, Browns, Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Dolphins. So it gets a little more difficult in the middle.
So the Ravens are really their first test of the year.
Yeah, I mean but again, what do you make of Johnny Manziel or John? I said it again. Baker Mayfield. What do you make of Baker Mayfield and the Browns?
I think Baker is. I love watching Baker play, and I like the energy he brings and the style of play he has. But at the same time, you know, I just think that's a game you should win if you're the Patriots. That's definitely a game where you're saying, okay, we got this great defense allegedly, you know, and I do think
allegedly.
They're legit. Well, because if I'm gonna rip Dak Prescott for his soft schedule, I got to rip the Patriot defense too. Like, you know, if you're playing a soft schedule, into it.
Wait.
Here we go.
Did you really
here
just... Okay, wait
go.
A minute. I just want to make
here
sure because,
we go.
You know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the, confluences...
Johnny, don't call me Baker.
...of the, you know, yeah. I mean, I get Johnny Manziel and Baker Mayfield confused and stuff. Did you really just compare the Patriot defense? I'm just going to give you a pass on that. Because I thought I heard you say you're going to compare the Patriot defense to Dak Prescott.
No, that's not what I said. You misheard me.
I mean,
I said was if I'm going to rip Dak for the schedule,
that he's the best safety on the Patriots.
No, that's not what I said.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I thought that's what I heard you say.
I'm pretty positive that's not what I
said.
Can
you restate your machinations, please?
I said if I'm going to rip Dak for his schedule, I have to rip the Patriot defense for theirs. And they have a soft schedule, and they play
do.
In a soft division. So,
but that's a horrible comparison.
I don't
Dak
think
Prescott's
it is,
a
dude.
Quarterback. We're talking about one guy.
No, we're talking about schedule. We're talking about a weak-ass schedule, whether you're a quarterback or a defense. That's what
and
we're talking about.
By the way, Dak has failed when the competition got a little marginally better.
Right.
Dak struggled.
Yeah.
And we've seen this Patriot team, no matter who is coming to the party, be very good.
Who's the best team they've played, in your opinion? Just off of the, you know, some of the games. I know you said, you know, they played, you know, the Dolphins, the Giants.
I think probably the Dolphins, you know, the Dolphins are not good. Probably the Steelers in week one. The Bills, I think beating the Bills at Orchard Park is a solid win. The Bills are a good team. I don't have any doubt about that. My concern, and really when you talk about their soft schedule, my concern is they've seen some pretty good defenses and their offense has struggled a little bit. Now they also dropped 33 on the Steelers. They put 43 on the Dolphins, 30 on the Jets, 16 on the Bills. You know, like, it's so at times they look stagnant. They got a couple of big scores out of special teams and defense last night to score 35. But I think their defense is legitimately good. And I know that a lot of people like to criticize the Patriots, and it's easy to do that. But if you look at their D-line, their ends, their linebackers, their secondary, again, Kyle Van Noy, I think has been nothing short of a gift from the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Since he came over, you know, if you look at Stephon Gilmore, Devin McCourty, you know, Jason McCourty, Patrick Chung obviously has his issues. But Hightower and Roberts and Jamie Collins. And I mean, their defense is stocked with guys that can make plays all over the field, and they would be number ones on any team across the NFL.
Right.
They're legitimately good defensively. And I think that my bigger concerns are the offense. The offensive line, frankly, I'm a little surprised. The Giants are a maligned defense. I get it. The Giants were routinely in the backfield last night.
Yeah.
So I think my point on this is I think the flaws on this Patriot team are on offense, and a lot of them are on the offensive line. And obviously being hurt and having guys that, you know, Josh Gordon's dealing with some things. Philip Dorsett is hurt. You know, Corey Cunningham's hurt. There's just, you have a lot of guys who, you know, are not healthy. Don't forget N'Keal Harry's not even playing for them right now.
Yeah.
I think he's on IR. Like, they have a lot of weaponry. The Antonio Brown situation that we're also familiar with. The New England Patriots have issues. The defense is not one of them. And it does kind of torque me a little bit that people are talking about how, oh, well, this defense is overrated. And I don't think the defense is overrated at all.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying they're overrated. All I'm saying is when you don't have a playoff team on your schedule before your bye week, I just think that's something you have to talk about. It comes into the conversation. But
yeah.
But I agree with you. They have a lot of talent. Like I said, I think they have most of the defensive players that they have are really heady players. They're smart. They know where they should be. They know how to take the right angle.
Sure.
They have great technique. Like, so I don't really worry about the defense. I do the offense. Is the side of the football that you have to worry about this year.
What do you make of pass interference in the NFL? The review process, I mean, it just hasn't worked. There were two last night that were just egregious. Like, they were really, really bad.
Uh-huh.
Is the pass interference review working in the NFL?
I mean, I guess not. There's still missed calls, right? I mean, the whole point of allowing head coaches to challenge pass interference, whether it happened, whether it was a no call or it was a call, is so that you get every call right and you avoid the Nickell Robey-Coleman hit all over again last year.
That very clearly is not happening.
Right, so that's not happening. So that's why I say it's not working. But at the end of the day, this is what we always come to with instant replay, whether we're in the NFL or we're in Major League Baseball or whatever. I just think sometimes instant replay will never fix every problem that ails you. You can't right every single wrong, and I think we look at officiating the wrong way. The human element is what makes games great, whether it's because they got it wrong or whether it's because they got it right.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what the game is about. You have to deal with that. That's part of the game.
Here's my question, though. It's very clearly pass interference, and I think this is a lot of people's issues with the NFL right now. It very clearly is pass interference. And, dude, it's not close. On tape, on replay, live, it's pass interference. And they're not calling it. Upon review, they're looking at it, and they're not calling interference. I don't understand what they're looking at. And these are big calls. These are calls that are deciding games that are – it's the difference between a field goal and a touchdown.
Right.
And it's hugely impacting the game. I don't understand what they're looking at. Do you think that they have just made a decision that they're not going to call pass interference based on a replay?
Because
that's what it feels like to me.
I don't disagree. That is what it feels like. I agree with that. I just think, you know, the thing with pass interference is it's so subject to, well, was the defender playing the ball or was his head facing the wide receiver?
But like last night.
Like,
I don't remember who the wide receiver was, but the defender goes up and grabs him a full probably second before the football gets there. Over the weekend, there was that call where the defender was holding the hand of the wide receiver.
Right.
They review it. It's very clearly interference, yet the call stands that it's not pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what you're looking at. And I think the issue is that this is, in my opinion, this interference thing in the NFL is a bigger issue than the roughing the passer thing. Like, all of this officiating stuff is a big issue. But when you look inside of that and you made the policy change that said, we're going to review pass interference, and then you don't overturn what is very clearly pass interference.
Right.
I don't know why you're reviewing it. For my money, it's an embarrassment. It's a blight on the face of the NFL that they are not reviewing and turning those calls over. I frankly really don't understand it. The Monty Show brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Don't forget to get to Napa Auto Parts in the month of October because it is Car Care Month. And Napa Auto Parts always has your hookup, including tomorrow at Napa Auto Parts in Peoria. It is the fall vehicle health check from 9 to 3 at Napa Auto Parts in Peoria, 9786 West Peoria Avenue. Our good friend Mike Conroy and the guys are going to be there, and they're going to inspect your car for free. This is 100% a free event at Napa Auto Parts in Peoria, the fall vehicle health check, 9 to 3. They're going to have food there for you from 11 to 2. And the even better part of this is our good friends at Napa Auto Parts in Peoria, they're going to have a deal for you exclusively for Monty Show listeners. They're going to have a deal for you where if you download the Yelp app, and it would be nice if you'd review them and say, hey, I heard about you guys on the Monty Show and this store kicks ass. It'd be nice if you did that, but you don't even have to do that. Just download the Yelp app, look for Napa Auto Parts in Peoria, and there is a coupon sitting there waiting for you, and all you have to do is show it to the guys at Napa and say, hey, I heard about you on the Monty Show. They're going to give you $20 off a $100 purchase, and they're going to give you one of these beautiful Napa Auto Parts hats for free.
Bada like boom, bada bing.
Napa
you know?
Racing, Chase yeah. Elliott, let's go.
Number
knock
nine,
it down, kid.
Mobile, yeah.
Nice Hooters. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that they're going to hook you up with a Napa Racing hat, and they're going to give you $20 off a purchase of $100. So you heard me right. It's $20 off a $100 purchase. And all you have to do is open up the Yelp app and show them their page, and doom, it's done. It's awesome.
Seems
I'm telling
easy
you.
Enough to me.
Yeah, that's why you shop at Napa Auto Parts. I'm telling you, they're your local Napa Auto Parts store. They're your friends. They know who you are. They know what you need. And this fall vehicle health check tomorrow from 9 to 3 at Napa Auto Parts in Peoria, it really is all about being safe this winter. They're going to check your windshield wipers, your windshield solvent.
Solvent, which, please.
Yeah, which is windshield washer fluid. In Arizona, why don't people just use water? One of our neighbors, and I won't say them by name, puts water in their windshield washer jug. I would not do that. But anyway, my point is, they're going to check your brakes. They're going to check tires, tire pressure, lights, windshield wipers. They're going to make sure that your windshield's in good shape.
They're going to check your downpipe to make sure it works right.
To make sure you're catless.
Yeah,
and if you're not catless, they're going to kick you off their property.
As long as you can get away from that by just going on Yelp.com and reviewing their page. Thank you.
And hey, there's Mike from Napa.
Have a great day.
There's Mike from Napa on Periscope. He says, solvent. It's windshield washer fluid, sir. You don't work at Napa. I do. Oh, actually, you do, and I don't. But anyway, the point
Napa
is...
Napa know-how
this on the Monty Show. So go to Napa Auto Parts in Peoria tomorrow for their fall vehicle health check. Can we talk real quick about Colin Kaepernick? Because this is something I don't understand. And look, when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, all right, you can have your opinions. You don't have to like Colin Kaepernick's politics. I'm not even telling you that I like Colin Kaepernick's politics. I'm not telling you that you have to like him or you have to hate him. But you cannot possibly make me the argument that Colin Kaepernick isn't one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL. You can't make me the argument that he's not one of the 64 best quarterbacks in the NFL. And it came out yesterday through Colin Kaepernick's agent and lawyer that all 32 teams have said no to Colin Kaepernick, some of them on multiple occasions, to the point where they won't even bring him in for a workout. Yes, Colin Kaepernick settled his collusion case against the NFL, but can you sit here in all honesty and tell me that Colin Kaepernick doesn't deserve a chance to play in the NFL? If you do, I would love to hear the logic on that, because I think you're incredibly flawed. Colin Kaepernick has done a lot of things in his life. None of them should ban him from playing in the NFL. None of them. And there's this narrative out there that Colin Kaepernick wants to be guaranteed he'll start. Completely false. Colin Kaepernick wants to make the same money he made before. Totally false. Colin Kaepernick has made it very clear that he will play for, whether you want to call it the minimum, the veteran minimum, whatever you want to say. Money's not going to stop Colin Kaepernick from signing with your football team. Being a backup is not going to stop Colin Kaepernick from signing with your football team. But to prove my point that this is so much more than football, you're not even willing to bring him in for a workout. No teams have even brought him in to see what kind of shape Colin Kaepernick is in. So again, we can sit here and you can say, oh, well, he's anti-military. He's not. Well, he hates the president. He might. He wore pig socks. He did. And that was completely wrong. But are you telling me that guys like Antonio Brown, who will play in the NFL again, deserve more of a shot than Colin Kaepernick does? Because that's completely false. That's a joke. Colin Kaepernick belongs in the NFL because he is one of the 32 best quarterbacks on the planet, and he certainly is one of the 64 best quarterbacks on the planet. And all this BS about the fact that he wants millions of dollars and he wants to be guaranteed a starter, you have no evidence of that. In fact, his agents have said the exact opposite. So my point is, Jake, does he ever play again?
No, he'll never play again.
I don't think he will either.
I think he's 31 years old now. I think now, because he is that age, teams have an excuse outside of, hey, we don't want the drama. And I just think at this point, Colin, sorry, man, like it, you're just not going to get back. And I do think Kaepernick will find a way to continue to be relevant, whether that's in it within a foundation or doing community work or, you know, like something like that. I don't know if I'm not saying it's going to be charitable foundation stuff, but like something where his name and he's doing something that's meaningful and relevant to people, you know, that he cares about.
So yes, totally
I do think he will do that. And don't forget, he is a Nike athlete. So because he is a Nike athlete, like that matters to me as well.
Do you think that helps or hurts him?
I think that depends who you're asking, man. For me, I think it helps him because it brings you brand recognition. If Nike is willing to endorse you, that clearly means that, you know, your fight is meaningful, that you are not just some buffoon, you know, just coming off the wall with stuff, right? Like you actually have reason, you actually have belief, like they you've clearly talked to Nike about this and they support you. So I think that I do think if Nike stands behind you, however controversial you may be, it absolutely matters.
Well, I think one of the things that's so interesting is that Colin Kaepernick has everything Colin Kaepernick does is controversial. Right. So
to no fault of his own, though,
I agree. It shouldn't be. But yeah. I mean, the guy takes a crap and it's controversial.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's the legitimate part of this. But when I look at Cap, I say to myself, this is a guy who belongs in the league, A, as I just said. But B, like Nike, look at the thing in China with Nike over these Rockets jerseys.
Yeah.
Nike's doing business in China, which means they have to abide by the Chinese law, which is you got to take those Rockets jerseys out of your store because they're dead to us. But Nike's getting killed for that. Look at Nike and Goodyear here in Arizona. Well, Nike in Arizona, you know, Governor Ducey got all upset because Colin Kaepernick, amongst others, said that the Betsy Ross flag on the back of a Nike shoe was a symbol of slavery. So Nike pulled the shoe from distribution. And the world stopped, and Governor Ducey tried to flex his muscle and got all crazy about it.
And Cap wasn't the only one who had that complaint, by the way.
He wasn't. But that doesn't fit the narrative.
Right.
That doesn't fit the narrative. And the thing that really bothers me is everything Colin Kaepernick does is a controversy, and he is automatically wrong because, oh, he hates America. He's anti-military. It's wrong because people have all these false pretenses about Colin Kaepernick. And I'd love to understand, give me one argument as to why Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be back in the NFL.
Just for the sake of this, I will give you arguments. Well, he's too old. He's 31. You know, he wasn't talented before. Look at his numbers. I mean, he was never able to complete a high percentage of passes, and you know, he's just not good enough anymore.
AZ Hockey Nut says, "Hope not. He's a terrible quarterback."
Exactly my point.
You're telling me that Colin Kaepernick is not better than Josh Rosen, so, that one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL.
What define terrible quarterback? So let's instead of being generic, AZ Hockey Nut, and saying, "Oh, well, he's a terrible quarterback." What does he's a terrible quarterback mean, right? Pull up his numbers. Tell me is, you know, and we're pulling him up right now, but pull up his numbers, AZ Hockey Nut, and tell me by his numbers, those are terrible numbers. And then go ahead and compare those to backup quarterbacks in this league. Go ahead and compare them to starting quarterbacks in this league. And I'm sure what you will do is you will go and compare them to like Patrick Mahomes or like the best of the best. And you'll try to say that Cap's not good enough. I'm telling you that he definitely is good enough. He definitely still has the ability to be a dual threat quarterback. That's not in question.
No doubt.
I do think there would be a break-in period for him coming back, and I do think that's something teams would have to deal with. But I don't think that that's such a huge deal that it's you know, it's keeping him from being in the league. I do truly believe that this is a thing where teams don't want to deal with the potential backlash that I don't even think would happen. I honestly and truly believe, I think if a team signed him, I think the wave of positivity and I think the relief that the league would feel would be immense.
Like, yeah, totally
agree.
I
think it would be a huge thing for the NFL, finally like a piece of positive news. But we don't view it like that.
Yeah, it's remarkable that he can't even get a workout with a team.
Yeah.
Cannot even get, like the Seattle Seahawks are the one team that brought him in for a meeting. as we all remember. But it's a joke. It is really frustrating to me that people want to continue the narrative that says that Colin Kaepernick's not good enough to play in the NFL. It's completely wrong. All right, a lot of people are saying the arena football. You really think Colin Kaepernick's going to go play arena football?
No.
Yeah, Fat Jesus says, what about the Canadian Football League? The Canadian League is interesting. It's a lot more space, and he is absolutely a weapon with his leg.
He doesn't want to play in the Canadian Football League, dude. He wants to play in the NFL.
Yeah, and he's earned the right to play in the NFL. And by the way, he is one of the original dual threat quarterbacks. You also have to remember that. Is that he's a guy that I think he's run for 2,300 yards in his career.
We all remember the Packer game in San Francisco when he shredded that Packers defense with his own legs. So,
yeah.
You know, I just think people will forever hate Colin Kaepernick. And I get it with the pig sock thing and the shirts and everything. I get it. But at the end of the day, that was, how long ago was that now? Was it
2017?
So what, two, three?
Or 2016?
So what, three years ago now? I mean, we're past that now. Like at some point, like let me use this example. In your life, to those of you watching us on Periscope, have you not made mistakes? Have you not done things that maybe were perceived to be wrong, but you did them because you believed in them? Well, yeah, we've all done that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Colin Kaepernick did. And yet, because he's a football player, he's being just blackballed. Like, nobody wants to sign him. That's what we're talking about here. So I would just be careful calling the guy a terrible quarterback who was never able to get it done.
Napa Mike says, Canada fixes his football itch and his hatred of the U.S.
He doesn't hate the
U.S.,
bro.
What hatred of the U.S.? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Hatred of the U.S. Like that. Anyway, my point is that I just think it's one of these things where no matter what Colin Kaepernick does, I just don't think he'll ever get past kneeling in the NFL.
All right, we're moving on.
Yeah.
Can we do our locks, please? We're on the picks. Bro.
We're on the picks. Like Belichick's on the Cincinnati. Let's do our picks. You want to start NFL or college? Let's start college. Obviously, it's a huge week in the Pac-12. That goes without saying, and I think this is a huge week for the Arizona Wildcats. Now, I'm just going to hang on to my Arizona Wildcats because I told you that I believed in this team and I believe in this team. I believe in this team 100%. They've got the Washington Huskies coming to Tucson this weekend. This is a big number. This is 9.5.
I know you're not taking Arizona in this game.
Oh, I'm taking Arizona to cover. I don't think there is. Why wouldn't you? What don't you like about Arizona?
I agree that Khalil Tate's a massively talented guy, and I agree that he's tough for defenses to stop. But with that said, Washington is a pretty damn good team, dude. They're a really quality team, quality defense. Clearly, we'll have a game plan coming in. I guarantee you. He will not run for 150 yards in this game. Guarantee that. So
I wouldn't disagree with that. But I'm telling you, I love Khalil Tate, dude. I love what he's going to bring to the table. I love the idea that he's a guy that nobody's been able to stop him. 9.5 points is completely disrespectful to Arizona and that Wildcat offense. And I think that if you look at the games in the Pac-12 this week, Washington State at Arizona State, right? You look at that game, Arizona State's a 1-point favorite at home to Washington State. How are you making Washington a 9.5-point favorite at Arizona against one of the most dynamic threats in college football?
Defense. He's a dynamic threat because he hasn't faced an amazing defense yet. Washington has that kind of a defense. Washington has a defense that will make him not a dual threat quarterback, in fact, but a pocket passing quarterback.
Okay.
They will contain him. They will come in with a game plan that keeps him from running for 100 yards. I guarantee it. They will spy the hell out of him. They will make sure that he stays in the pocket. You guarantee, watch their defensive line this game, and they will not be coming for him constantly. They will make sure he stays in the pocket.
Fat Jesus says, I'm taking Arizona to suck like the bitches they are. pull no punches, Jesus.
Yeah, man.
I'm taking Arizona to lose this game. And it feels like this will be like a 26-24 kind of game. So I think I'm going to go 27-24 Washington. And I think that means that Arizona covers, Washington wins, and it goes under the 59.5.
I'm going to go 31-21 Washington.
31-21.
I think Khalil Tate throws an interception in this game, and I think that might be a pick six late in the game when they're trying to come back.
Wow.
And I think it's not an easy victory, but a comfortable win for Washington.
All right, Washington State at number 18, Arizona State. This is going to be a fun game to watch. The number on this game is 59.5. So they expect a lot of points. I actually think Arizona State's going to tear up the Cougars of Washington State.
Okay.
And I think that this is a 35-21. This will be a 35-28.
What 30, makes 30, you think
38-28 kind of game?
What makes you think Arizona State's capable of putting up that many points?
They're at home. I like the way that Arizona State's developing on their offense. Yeah, I really like everything that Arizona State's doing. You don't feel confident in Arizona State.
I don't think they're capable of putting up 38. I think they're much more capable of being a 20s kind of team, so like 27 to 30 points maybe. But I don't think they're capable of putting up that extra.
You put up 31 in a loss at Colorado.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. So you're capable of putting up that kind of number, but you're not good enough. To put up 38 points, man, you got to be a really dynamic and efficient offense, and that's not quite where they're at yet, in my opinion.
But hasn't Jaden Daniels gotten more efficient every week he's played?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you're putting up 38 points. I think the only way that happens is if this turns into an absolute shootout. Not to the effect
that's going to happen.
Not to the effect that it was with UCLA and Washington State, but you know, to the effect that you're able to trade possessions throughout the game, like consistently. Like the drives don't take a long time. Like you're not having 10-12 minute drives. You're having 5 to 7 minute drives, and you're just flipping the football constantly. If that happens, all right, then I could kind of see, you know, 40 points for each team, but I don't think that happens. I think
38-28 Arizona State wins, win cover over.
I'm gonna go 27-24 ASU.
27-24. That's kind of a boring game. I just don't think that Washington State plays that kind of football. That's my biggest concern. Let's talk about the Utah Mighty Utes. I think the Utes are in a big situation here. They are the 8 o'clock game. It's at Oregon State. This is a trap game.
Oregon State is always a trap game, man.
Yeah, in Corvallis is never a fun place to go and play. You're at that time of year where it's like, yeah, you know what? Oregon State's, you know, 2-3. They beat UCLA at UCLA. But, man, I got to think that I have to think that Utah's on a mission this week. Coming off of a bye week, they know this is a critical game for them. They are well aware that I think they're the best team that Oregon State's going to see. And I think when you look at Oklahoma State, Hawaii, and Stanford, those are the three games that Oregon State's lost. This should be an easy victory. This should be a 2-point or a 2-score victory, a 17-point score.
Yeah.
Or margin is what Utah should win. I'm going to go 34-17. I think the Utes win the game.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on this one. I think this is the kind of game where you're saying to yourself, if you're Utah, hey, we have this great defense. We should be able to lock down Oregon State. And our offense should be able to move the football on this team. So, yeah, I agree. I would expect the Utes to double up on them.
Win cover over because the Utes are a 14.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to say 34-17. I wouldn't be surprised if they cover that. Yeah, if Utah is able to do that.
BYU at South Florida. BYU is a 5-point favorite. The number is 50.5, which feels pretty low to me. Boy, I think this is a must-win for BYU because if BYU does not win this game, I think there's a real chance that they don't get to bowl eligibility. I think this is a must-win game. how confident are you in what BYU is doing right now? Do you feel good about them?
They're coming off their bye week having lost, and I think they're
having
gonna
lost
be,
two in a row.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be a motivated team. I think they will play well in this game, but I don't trust them to make a bowl. I need to see consistency. I need to see. This is definitely a must-win game, and then you got to come out and win, you know, two or three in a row, and then I will feel good about you.
Well, and they've got at South Florida, Boise State at Utah State, those are two games that are always crapshoots. They're always very physical, tough competitions. Then they're at Liberty, or home for Liberty, which should be a win. You would think that that's the potential to get to their fourth win. Idaho State should be their fifth win, and then they're at UMass, which would be their sixth win. Because I think it's going to be very difficult to end their season on the 30th of November at San Diego State with bowl eligibility on the line.
It's a must-win game.
This is a must-win for BYU, and I think they're going to get the job done. Now, the score prediction is going to be much different, in my opinion. This is one of those games where BYU's a 5.5-point favorite, and it feels like this is one of those... 27-21 games.
Sure.
So I think BYU's going to win, but I think it's going to be by a field goal. I'm going to go 27-24 BYU.
No, I agree with that. I'll go with that as well.
All right, 27-24 BYU wins. Probably the second biggest game of the day would be the Red River Shootout. Oklahoma! You're welcome. Versus Texas, Oklahoma's a 10.5-point favorite. You ready for this number? You should probably put your hands at 10-2. 75.5.
It's your boy.
The number is 75.5 for Jalen Hurts. What a stud!
Yeah, and I do think they'll get to that number in this game.
Stop.
No, I do. I do. I think Jalen Hurts is capable of putting up 40-plus points, and I think the only question is...
Dude.
No, I'm
75.5.
I think the only question is, you know, whether Ellinger and Texas can match. I mean, if they can match, 70 should be no problem. You know, I mean, think about it. If you're Oklahoma and you're putting up 40, that's half of that number already. If you're Texas, you know that you're not going to be able to score with Oklahoma, but you should be able to put up, 30 to 35 points in this game. You should.
I look at this is a 40-point game, right? That Oklahoma is going to score 40 points.
I mean, it feels like the first of 40 wins this game. I mean, that's what it feels like to me.
So you're saying that you think this is a 40-35 game?
Yes.
Man, yes. That would be unbelievable. Yes. I'm going to take Oklahoma because my guy Jalen Hurts is on a mission. He's going to win the Heisman Trophy. I am going to take Oklahoma 42. Am I going 35? Am I going 42-35? I'm going to say 42-31. That's a win, that's a cover, and it's under the 75.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go 45 for Oklahoma. And I'm going to go 45-35. Okay. I think it's a big time shootout. I do think Oklahoma wins the game.
Yeah, I think you're crazy. Florida at LSU. This is one of the great games on the schedule every single year. Florida at LSU, this is one of those games that everybody gets excited about. This is one of those games where I think this determines what kind of season Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators have. If you can go to Baton Rouge and you can win, when you're a 13-point dog, that would be remarkable, which is why it's never going to happen. LSU is not losing at home. Mm-hmm. I love LSU in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're Florida, you're not going in winning this game. You're not Alabama heading into the swamp and winning a game. That is just not who you are. So I do think they'll put up a good fight, but I don't even know what a good score would be in this game because it's going to be tough. I think it's probably a little bit lower scoring.
55.5 is going to be a lower scoring game.
Yeah, I don't see a huge scoring game here. This feels like a more traditional game, like a 31-21 kind of game, like a lower scoring game. So that's what I would look for. But LSU will win this game.
Yeah. Is this the marquee? Does it live up to the marquee billing that it's getting? It's the late game. It is the big late game.
I think it'll be a good game. I just don't think Florida has a chance to win it. I think they'll put up a good fight. But
they have a chance.
LSU will win this game, man. I would be shocked if they lost.
The reason I say this is I think LSU's very good. And I think Joe Burrow is trying to prove a point. And I'm totally down for that. I hope he does prove a point. I think one of the things that's really interesting is can Joe Burrow legitimately put himself in the Heisman Trophy conversation? If he's going to, this is a performance. He's got to have it. He's absolutely got to have it. So we're giving you, I'm definitely taking LSU. This feels like a 31-24 win. So I think it goes under the 55. I'm going to take LSU to win that game. Let's switch to NFL locks. Seahawks at Browns. Seahawks are a 1.5 favorite. Is there anybody taking the Browns to win this game?
Nope, but I think they'll be right in it. I think this is a game where you would expect the Seahawks to win, but the Browns will put up a good fight. I am taking the Seahawks. I did take it in the family pick'em pool as well, so hopefully this doesn't backfire in my face.
By the way, who's in second place in the family pick'em pool?
I don't know.
That'd be me, this guy, the good-looking one.
Cool.
I'm taking the Seahawks to win this game, and I think they're going to win it by 10. I think Baker Mayfield's got a long day in store for him. The controversy around Baker Mayfield this week is a little thick. And he's a guy that needs to stop talking, and he needs to start performing at a much higher level. And at some point, Freddie Kitchens is going to find a way to get him to go left, or they're going to fire Freddie Kitchens. And this could be the game that puts Freddie Kitchens on the outside looking in, because I think the Seahawks are going to go to Cleveland. I think they're going to handle their business. I think this is a big win for the Seahawks. All right, Eagles at Vikings. The Vikings are a 3-point favorite. The number's 44. Eagles and Vikings.
Yeah.
Who do you have more confidence in as a football team, Minnesota or Philadelphia?
I mean, my gut says Philadelphia, but it's hard for me to pick against Vikings at home in their building. Like, to me, that's a team that is not great on the road, but when you put them in their own environment, they play pretty well. So I'm really split on this. I do think you have to take the Eagles on in this game, just because, you know, it's the Eagles, it's Carson Wentz. They're the better team, but don't be surprised
Jake,
if this is
Jake,
really close.
Jake. Here, I thought you understood the NFL.
I guess not.
Kirk Cousins is your boy. They gave him the football last week. They're going to give him the football this week. They're going to throw the ball a lot more than they have been. And that's why the Vikings are going to win and cover this 3 points. And I think it's going to go over the 44. I think this is going to be a shootout. I love the Vikings in this game. Texans at Chiefs, one of the headline games of the week. Love the way Deshaun Watson's playing. The Chiefs are a home favorite at 4.5. The number's 55.5. The Chiefs are going to lose to the Texans.
I know, so much of me wants to take Houston, man. So much of me wants to take Houston.
Do it.
I
want it.
My. This is kind of what I was talking about coming out of, what was it, the Thursday, not Thursday night, what was it? When did they play last?
I think Monday night.
Was it Monday night?
Their last Monday night game.
Yeah, so, you know, I look at this Chiefs team and I say, okay, well, Patrick Mahomes got a little dinged up in that game, but he should be pretty close to 100% for this game. I also look at the fact that one of their offensive linemen, I can't remember his name, but he went down with a pretty big injury. He needed to be helped off the field. So I'll just be curious to see what this team brings to the table this week. You know, if they're close to what they've always been, I think this will be a phenomenal game.
Texans are winning this game, dude.
Yeah, I do think the Texans will win this game. I do.
Oh, you do?
I do. I think Deshaun Watson is a really intelligent guy, and he's showing that with their performances. So I'm going to take them, but
it
will be close.
Get it. I love it. Falcons at the Cardinals. Atlanta's a 2.5-point favorite. Forget that. Cardinals are on a 2-game winning streak come Sunday, Jake.
You're buying the juice.
I am, because Kyler Murray's running the football, and I'll say again, I know it's crazy. Kyler Murray's a better quarterback with David Johnson out of the lineup. And I say better, maybe the right way to say it is he's a more effective quarterback with David Johnson out of the lineup, because Kyler Murray has to run the ball at that point. And if David Johnson doesn't play, I think it's a lock that the Cardinals win. If David Johnson plays, it's a closer game, because Kyler likes to use him as a, you know, a parachute. But I'm taking the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals win this game somewhat like 28-21 will be the number in this game.
I think it's closer than that. I don't have any kind of faith in the Falcons defense, which is why I tend to lean your way in this game. But I have real reservations about picking the Cardinals to win any game this year.
Ooh,
really? Yeah, I don't think they deserve the right to be picked in most games. So You know, I'm gonna go with the Falcons. They don't deserve the right. You haven't earned my respect yet. Like, I need you to do this a couple games in a row. So I'll be happy to be wrong 2 weeks in a row. I am gonna take the Falcons.
There you go. Don't forget to get to Napa Auto Parts in Peoria tomorrow from 9 to 3 for the Fall Vehicle Health Check. 9786 West Peoria Avenue in Peoria is where you find Napa Auto Parts for the Fall Vehicle Health Check. It's absolutely free. It costs you nothing. They're going to check your windshield wipers, your lights, your headlights, your taillights, your indoor lights, your outdoor lights, your temperature. Anyway, the point is, everything you need to know, is your car safe for the winter season here in Arizona? It's at the Fall Vehicle Health Check at Napa Auto Parts in Peoria, 9786 West Peoria Avenue. Tell them you heard it on the Monty Show. They'll give you a free Napa racing hat tomorrow. All of the hookup at Napa Auto Parts. And then, of course, thank you to our friends at Arrowhead BMW. ArrowheadBMW.com. It's the only place in the valley that you should be buying your car. Oh, by the way, it's a BMW, so you're going to love it. You can afford a BMW. And I know I tell you that every day, but take my word for it. Oh, or better yet, go in and see that you can afford a BMW. Brand new, certified pre-owned, or used. They've got a great inventory of used cars, and they are dealing at Arrowhead BMW, arrowheadbmw.com. I'm going to see the Joker movie, so I'll have a full review for you on Monday on the show on NFL Monster Monday. Looking forward to that. Jake, have a great day. Are you going to make it, little buddy?
Yep, ready to go.
Cool. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.